The roll call.
Thank you. There are no announcements or addendums. Any disclosures of pecuniary interest? There being none, I'm going to hand the chair to Councillor Knutt to carry on.
Thank you, Your Worship. Good evening and welcome to our first 2018 budget meeting. We'll begin tonight with a presentation by our Treasurer, Jonathan Jansen. Mr. Jansen, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chair. Welcome to our first budget meeting of 2018. For tonight's agenda, we will be looking at the capital budget inputs and drivers. We'll do a highlight of the budget program that's been submitted for this year. We'll take a look at some unknown factors and opportunities that accompany the budget. We'll look at the next steps, including the timetable that follows. We'll take time then to answer any questions from the presentation or from the report. And then following that, we will review the individual project worksheets that are in your binder. I should just ask as well, we did not make the paper copies of the presentation here, but you should all have it on your screens now with the new system and, of course, up on the screen there. So the first key input and driver that we do reference is the town's asset management plan. This was approved in 2015 and it was completed for our core infrastructure. So that is the roads, bridges, water, and wastewater system for the town. We have noted in the past year that it is in serious need of updating. Staff are aiming to update the plan once a few of the larger outstanding master plan studies are complete, and then with that we will prepare and refine the underlying financing strategy that goes with that. We note that the plan itself is a large requirement or an increasing requirement by the province for various reporting and grant funding. It identifies the long-term requirements for the life cycle of our assets and includes information for 100 years. And as I just mentioned, the financial strategy for it, for the last number of years, 5 years, council has supported approximately a 2.5% levy increase to deal with the identified gap of our capital reserves. This year we've proposed in the interim until we have the updated plan, $250,000, which represents about 1% of the levy. That's in accordance with our reserve policy and targets in terms of the amounts that we're specifically proposing that be allocated towards. That's in Table 3 of the report. So just a few of the others we do like to highlight in terms of inputs and drivers to the budget. The master servicing plans guide all the replacement and rehabilitation of our existing assets. The development charges or DC background study is the piece that guides new or growth asset development. The current study is from 2014 and expires in 2019. And then, of course, consultation with our various partners in the community and agencies and, of course, the region as well. This slide just highlights some of the current studies that have been completed as well as when they're planned for revision. So the DC background study, as I did just mention, the bridge and culvert assessment is done biannually and was adopted in the last year, in 2015, and is planned to be redone again this year, probably with likely adoption next year. And a few of the other ongoing ones, another one to note was the completion of the water distribution system master plan this last year, as well as the wastewater similar plan that will be completed this next year. So the total program cost for the 2018 capital is a request for $12.7 million. It's represented by 72 projects, and this chart does show the breakdown by different area of the town. The costs of the $12.7 million that we do note in many of our reports that the costs that we budget include the non-rebatable HST, so it doesn't include the full 13%, but just the portion that the town ultimately expenses. And as with most years, the largest focus is with infrastructure services, with roads, bridges, sidewalks, and transit at 37%, water and wastewater each at 13%, storms and drains as well at 13%, and then the others as shown on the chart there. Then in terms of breaking it down between existing assets and our growth assets, this year 85% of the budget is for existing assets, or $10.8 million. And just to highlight a few of the projects that we'll be looking at later, but some of the larger ones for this year are another $1.3 million for our road resurfacing program, $1.1 million for the Nye Road sewer shed trenchless rehabilitation, $795,000 for Crystal Beach Drive water main and road reconstruction, and $838,000 for Prospect Point road upgrades. This is all for assets that we currently own. And then for growth assets, the total is $1.9 million, or about 15%. And this includes $750,000 for Crystal Ridge Park, some new improvements being added there. $328,000 for Prospect Point Road storm sewers. So that's a component of the earlier project that I mentioned, but there's some new components to that project, as well as $154,000 for Crystal Ridge Landing Subdivision storm sewers. The financing for the program this year is 72% from reserves, and you can see the other allocations there. It's a bit lost on the screen, but development charges at 13%, grants at 8%, federal gas tax at 4%, and 3% with other. So the reserve portion is $9.1 million, and again, the reserves are really what do you carry year to year, the heavy lifting of our capital program. The available capital reserve balances for the beginning of 2018 or closing out 2017 is estimated about just under $13 million. Annually, the town is contributing $9.7 million. That's for both the levy and for the water and wastewater rates. So that's the amount annually that the town is contributing towards capital reserves to fund this program. This year, we've, again, just as mentioned, we're proposing $250,000, which is half of what was proposed last year and adopted last year. And just a note that the capital program that we're looking at tonight does not rely upon that increase, so that $250,000 or 1% of the levy is not relied upon for this, but certainly the evidence demonstrates that there's needs in the long term for annually increasing that contribution. The allocations are in Table 3 of your report, and the biggest contribution this year is to the roads reserve. And these allocations that we're proposing are based on reserve policy and optimal targets that we've set in that policy. This chart shows the capital reserves forecasted over the total the budget and 10-year period for our water, wastewater, and for our core infrastructure that's in the asset management plan. So you can see how there's some good growth over this term, but it's important to note that when you do look at the asset management plan, that the real significant needs are in the medium to long term. So once you get beyond the 10 years, there's a significant need in many, many years for those funds. Then the other components other than reserves for funding, grants this year are $1 million or 8%. This year we just have the two grants available. One is the OCIF, or the Ontario Community Infrastructure Fund, formula-based funding that we received from the province. We're applying that $693,000 towards the Crystal Beach Drive project. And $350,000 is the second part of the Bay Beach program from the region's Niagara Waterfront Investment Program. We're not proposing any debt in 2018, and this is in keeping with our strategy to keep our or reserve our debt capacity for new or growth areas. So certainly those will emerge as the town grows and develops. So this allows us to keep our debt charges at less than 5% of the total town revenue, which the province does track, and limits at 25%. So we are clearly in the low-risk area of that. gas tax funding we receive from the federal government. We're applying $500,000 this year towards bridges. We receive almost $1 million per year, although that we don't have any guarantees beyond the next year or two when the federal government will be reviewing it. That amount does fluctuate from year to year, so you'll see in a couple of years that amount will grow depending on the needs we have in any given year. Development charges are $1.6 million this year, or 13%, and this does address there's a number of projects that are all identified in the 2014 study that we haven't listed here, but you can see in the appendices to the report. Other is $385,000, includes amounts for landowner contributions when we do drain works, some expected donations, as well as the $75,000 for the steam engine that we just discussed Monday night that was previously allocated. This graph shows the capital spending over the forecast period. You can see in this graph that the spending does shift from year to year depending on available funding, depending on program needs and timing of needs. The average program for the average spend for the forecast period is $11.6 million. And you can see by color there the breakdown by area. So in keeping with past years, we do split the approvals for the capital into two parts. The preliminary approval is for $3.67 million. That's the total of all the projects in Appendix 1. We would bring that forward as soon as possible at the end of this month. And that's in the cases where the reserves that fund those projects is currently available in the reserves and it doesn't need next year's contribution from the levy to proceed. And then the general is all other projects that do require next year's contribution, totaling $9 million, and those would then be approved with the levy bylaw in February. So some unknown factors or risks. The capital project worksheets in your binder contain corresponding operating impacts where applicable. This is typically for new assets where there's new operational needs. The total for this budget is approximately $64,000 per year, or 0.27% of the general levy. So that should be definitely kept in mind tonight when we're approving these projects, as that part, once approved tonight, will form part of the increase for the levy in January. That includes things such as casual labor, materials and supplies, as well as the largest one actually this year is amortization for the ultimate replacement of new assets. The parks program relies on developer contributions in the form of cash in lieu parkland revenues. So these are dependent on actual results that are difficult to estimate at times. So the funding for that has been included. The DC similarly are dependent on development revenues and estimates were included based on current trends. The federal gas tax is the $954,000 we showed earlier that we receive annually that will be reviewed at the end of 2018 in terms of the allocation the town might expect going forward, as well as the asset management plan, again, needs to be updated and awaits the outcome of several master plan studies, and it documents the gap related to those core assets. Some opportunities, external federal, provincial, and regional funding. This year, like the OSIF formula-based program funding we have has assisted in defraying some of the pressures. The town did use up all of our Ontario Community Infrastructure Fund top upper application funding this last year, so we were very fortunate to have not only our formula-based, but also $816,000 in top-up funding that we received. We also received this last year the Clean Water and Wastewater Fund funding of $1.72 million. So while 2017 was a great year for that type of funding, this year there's less options at this point available to us, but certainly that's something we continue to review and through our grants oversight team, monitor and see which other programs we can apply for as they arise. Another one to note there is the Ontario Municipal Partnership Fund, or the OMPF, funding in the last number of years has been favorable. We received the assessment equalization grant portion of that fund from the province, and that we've been able to direct to one-time needs because it's also unreliable. So the last 2 years, we've added an additional $400,000 both years to accelerate road resurfacing works. Our effort is to advance as many of the capital projects as soon as possible. That's the purpose of the preliminary budget, so as to get as much interest and as many competitive quotes as possible on projects due to the annual cycles. Debt is an opportunity, again. Low reliance on debt provides capacity for new and growth assets, as well as some of the operating budget impacts ultimately may result in some lower costs with operations due to lower energy and maintenance costs, for example. So next steps for the budget. This is a timetable of the next steps with for the capital budget. The first bylaw for the preliminary portion would be November 27th. The water and wastewater budget, along with the user fees report, would come December 6th, with a related bylaw January 22nd. And then the general levy meetings on January 10th for library and ETC, January 24th for the town's general levy, as well as January 31st if necessary, and then February 26th for those related bylaws. And that concludes my presentation. We turn the mic back to you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jansen. Riveting information, great presentation. Do any of the councillors or his worship have any comments or questions on the presentation? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through you to Mr. Jansen, there was a slide with respect to, and I can't remember which number, I should have documented it, but there was a slide with respect to the general levy reserves not having enough.
Are you referring to this graph or the reserve slide before that?
I think it's the next one. The allocations for reserve, you're going to need more in the capital from this budget to add to the general levy. I don't know what slide that was, but I just wondered if you could just explain that just a little bit more.
Okay, perhaps it's the operating budget impacts. That's Appendix 3 to the report. Part of what happens when we approve new assets as part of this capital program is we quantify the annual impacts of some new assets. So if there's operations that are impacted, those are then at this point identified for adding to the levy. So in that case, the $63,880 a year has been identified through this exercise. So that's a 0.27% on the levy. The other one is the one we mentioned about the $250,000, which would be a 1% impact on the levy.
It had a $9 million figure attached on to the slide.
The $9.1 million for reserves?
Okay.
Yep. Okay, there you go, yeah. Yeah, what this means is if we have a reserve. So if you look at both Appendix 1 and Appendix 2, Appendix 1 is for those projects where the reserve funding necessary to move them forward is already in place. So if we want to do $1 million worth of roads works and we only have $800,000 in our roads reserve, we need to wait till next year's allocation to the roads program to get us that $1 million to approve it.
Do you have any other questions, Councillor Butler? No? His worship?
I could. So if we don't need the fifth budget meeting in January, presumably we could accelerate the bylaw?
Yes, I believe we could. We would have to look at the public notice requirements, but I think we would have the opportunity to advance it.
And gives us the ability to at least put out some early tenders with respect to some of the infrastructure projects.
Councillor Lubberts? Oh, actually, just a moment, I believe. Okay, go ahead, Councillor Lubberts.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Mr. Jansen, I'm a little confused here on slide 15. My first term of council, I can vividly remember debating over the capital budgets, and we were told that capital budgets don't affect the general levy, and that the capital budgets were used, reserves were used to pay for the capital budgets. And now you're telling me that we're going to come forward and we're going to be looking for monies to put into the reserves, and it's from the general levy? Is it? Why is the reserves not there?
Mr. Jansen?
Through the chair to Council Liberts, our annual allocation to the reserves is in this case for $9 million worth of projects not enough. So it's almost a year-to-year spending requirement to move forward with some of these. So if you recall the graph that shows the reserve balances by year, we have a number of years where the total balances are quite low or not high enough to do all the spending. But in terms of impact on the levy, the annual $9.7 million that we are contributing to the capital reserves from the levy is already part of the budget. So there is no impact in that regard from what we're approving tonight. This is more of a timing issue, where we need the annual contribution to the reserves to actually do the work. In a perfect world where we would maintain our reserve balances that always meet next year's need, we would be able to do everything with preliminary approval, but we're still kind of living month to month, so to speak.
Councilor Liberts? Well, I had a similar question earlier, and if I may, the preliminary budget that we're looking at tonight has zero impact on the general levy increase, with the exception of the contribution to the asset management plan recommended at $250,000. So that plus the other item would equal a 1.23% increase to the tax rate. Is that not correct, Mr. Jansen?
That's correct. So, yeah, what we're approving tonight, other than those two items, do not affect the levy.
Yes, that's what we're going to look at tonight. But you're looking on in this slide now. You got general approval of $9 million in Appendix 2. That's going to affect the general levy. The point that I'm trying to get at is, my first term of council, we were told that there is no impact on the general levy with the capital budget, because the capital budget we use reserves. Well, why are we? Are you saying that next year we're going to be contributing to the reserves so that then there will be no impact on the levy?
The first part of your statement is correct. Yeah, this does not affect the levy. Our levy currently, the base portion of our levy, has an annual allocation that goes to the reserves. It's just even though we need to wait for that transfer to happen with next year's budget, it's not that transfer is impacting year over year the amount that we're raising for that. So no impact on the levy.
So what's insufficient? And under this slide, what's the insufficiency?
Yes. We know we're receiving the money. It's just we wait until approval of the levy until we actually make those transfers. So the money is coming. We know based on our annual contributions that we have that funding. It's just we haven't transferred it yet to the reserves until we hit 2018.
Go ahead, Councilor Liberts. Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions or comments? I just have a few, Mr. Jansen. The important ones to the constituents, I'm going to start with that, which is the road resurfacing. We've earmarked $1.3 million to road resurfacing this year. As a start, do you know comparatively what was spent last year on road resurfacing?
Chair, if I might, we will be going through the individual capital project worksheets next. Mm-hmm. And like I know we did highlight some of the major items here in the presentation, but if it's related to that particular project, it might be best to deal with it at the time we look at that project.
That's fine. I'll just hold all my questions then until we get to those individual projects in the workbook. Okay, seeing no other questions or comments, can I have a mover for report CBC 01-2018? Councilor Zenko, that report is on the floor. In keeping with tradition, we'll go through the projects one by one, allow council to ask all the questions they need to. So if you could turn in your binder workbook to section 4. We'll begin with digital services, and the first report for discussion will be, or the first item, pardon me, for discussion will be copy 18, 2018 photocopier replacement. And I see Mr. Davis is here in the audience. He'll be able to answer any questions regarding that. Okay, so the 2018, the copy 18 is for a budget allocation of $20,000 to replace the Xerox multifunction devices. Any comments or questions on that? Seeing none, we'll move to the next item, which is IMIS 18, IT computing, computer hardware. This is part of the town's continual program of IT upgrades and replacements. That allocation is for $50,000. Does anyone have any comments or questions regarding that? Seeing none, we'll move on to the next item, which is MSOF 18, Microsoft Office Upgrade. Microsoft Office Upgrade from version 2010 to version 2016. That is a $60,000 allocation. Does anyone have any comments or questions on that? I have one question for Mr. Davis, if you wouldn't mind coming to the podium. How close to the rollout of MS Office 2019 are we?
Good. We're close. We're reviewing it right now. So I think in the report here I mentioned that we're going to roll out 2016. Sounds like 2019 is going to be released. So we're going to review that to see which way we're going to go. The only reservations that we have is if 2019 comes out as a cloud-only version, we want to make sure that we have an in-house cloud. So that's why we're looking at both versions in this case.
Thank you very much. You just answered my next question. So, are there any other questions regarding that? Seeing none, we'll move on to SERV 18, Server and Core Infrastructure Replacement. This is an $18,000 contribution. Are there any comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll move on to STEN 10, Steam Engine Repair. And I'm sure we have some comments and questions on this, so who would like to kick it off? Is everybody okay with what we dealt with last night, which is the stage one repairs moving forward on $75,000? And in the footnote, there is a capital allocation already for $100,000 through February 2010. Okay, that just breaks it out from where it came from. Okay, dealt with that last night, so we're going to move on. We've got Bay B 16. For the Bay Beach improvements, are there any comments or questions regarding this budget item? Councilor Passero?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just in need for projects, it does speak about the subject of a future report to council regarding operational strategies. What is our timeline to consider those? I know that some of those were admission charges, other beach user type issues.
Ms. Signe Hansen's here to answer that question.
I am. Through you, Mr. Chair. We have had discussion about when that will come to council. We're expecting it later in the year, I believe.
Which year?
Later in this year, sorry, 2018. So when the construction is nearing completion, we'll come back to council with the operational strategy.
Okay. So there's no items that we would need to consider prior to construction, like all the components, like for instance, as admission strategy. Everything's being done to contemplate a yes or a no moving forward
yes,
with that?
Yes, that okay. is correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Welcome. Your Worship.
So, Ms. Hansen, while you're there, when do we anticipate starting construction on this?
Right now, we have the construction and tender documents at 90% complete. We're just returning comments to the consultant, so we intend to tender this year for construction, award in January and construction in 2018. Originally, we intended to phase construction over 2 years, but we're looking at doing it in one season in 2018.
So if I might, Mr. Chair, just to further Councilor Passero's question about the timing of the operational issues that we need to address,
yes.
is that likely going to come before the end of 2017? Are you talking before the
I don't anticipate it will come before the end of 2017. We were talking about bringing it to council in 2018.
Does anybody else have any questions before I go back to Councilor Passero? Councilor Passero?
Just going back to something we touched on earlier regarding the preliminary versus the general and when we can tender, is this one of the items we'll be able to get out in the earlier tender period?
Yes, that is correct. It's in the preliminary budget.
Excellent.
Thank you very much, Ms. Hansen. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, we'll go ahead. We'll move on to CRYS 18, the Crystal Ridge Park Improvements. And that has, are there any comments or questions by anyone on council regarding this? Councilor Passero?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know that we're breaking it down into three stages, and it does note that it'll be phased over several years. Can you quantify what we're looking at right now as far as budgeting for several years? How many is several?
Several right now is three phases. And we actually had a phasing map that didn't make it into the budget package. I don't know if you want me to hand that out, and it might assist while I'm speaking to it.
No, the verbiage talks about
okay,
the phasing,
yep.
But over how many years is that phasing happening?
Yes, so we are looking at putting out a tender for $1 million in 2018. So that is, again, a preliminary budget item. So we have the 90% tender set available right now. So we're ready to put that early in 2018. Then we've allocated funding for 2020 and 21.
Okay.
$250,000 for each of those years.
Okay.
So that's in the long term, in the 10-year capital forecast.
Okay. Three years sounds much better than several.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Mr.
Very
Chair.
Much, Your Worship.
I wonder if we could just get clarification on that. This sheet talks of construction costs of $750,000. You just mentioned $1 million.
We council allocated $250,000 in 2017, and our consultant has prepared the construction drawings and recommended to staff that we combine the 2017 capital allocation of $250,000 with the 2018. So we can, we are just dealing with one contractor on site. We can achieve some efficiencies with respect to contract administration and site mobilization, demobilization, some of the administrative tasks that happen regardless of the size of a construction project.
Wondering whether it wouldn't be more appropriate then for this description of the work to include an increment for prior years. What you're saying is there was $250,000 budgeted in prior years.
So in the need for project, it says capital funds of $250,000 were allocated in 2017 to commence the project. And the consultant recommended we combine 2017 and 18 funding. That's sort of in the middle of the need
right.
for project.
But when we get down to the body where it says the budget, should we not have $250,000 showing under prior years for construction?
Yep.
You're correct.
You.
Are there any other comments or questions?
Just a comment there. Yeah, normally we would combine it correctly. With a prior year number. I think in this case, because it was forecasted last year, the same project ID was kept with this information. So, but you're quite right in terms of it normally otherwise being combined into one worksheet.
Amend this then at some point?
We can administer them as separate capital projects and tender them together with the joint funding. It doesn't need to be one capital project ID. It's better. It's clear, you're right, if we do that, but I don't know that we necessarily need to amend it to capture that.
I'm just a lawyer, not an accountant. Thank you.
Are there any other comments or questions regarding this project? Seeing none, we'll move on to the next project, which is DUG 16, Douglas Park Master Plan and Playground, with a budget allocation of $85,000. Yes, Your Worship?
Yes, I had a question, or maybe two. Is there going to be work done on future years with respect to this particular park?
Through you, Mr. Chair, yes, we anticipate there will. What will come out of the master plan will form the basis for future work. So we anticipate there will be a playground, but there might be other features as well.
So that if there are community partners that might be interested in contributing, that would be to future phases of development of this park?
Most definitely. And we do have a community partner that has expressed an interest in perhaps partnering on the playground. They're not willing to come forward yet, but once we have the master plan done, we'll be continuing discussion with them.
So this is for the playground, right?
That's correct, yes.
If that happens, if we have a community partner, what would happen then to the funds? They'd be allocated to another playground in another park? Or would they go into a fund for this future development in this park?
Through you, Mr. Chair, I anticipate that we would come back to Council with a recommendation relative to the donation, and any excess funds would probably go back to the Parkland Reserve or the original source.
Although by that time we would have the master plan, so we'd have some idea what's going forward.
That is correct, yeah.
Want
so Council
sure
may choose to allocate it to other aspects of the park.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a comment. There's also the possibility of some joint use provisions given the adjacency to Peace Bridge Public School. But I also want to put this on infrastructure services radar screen that is a part of the master plan. I'll be looking for some dollars to fix up the path that goes from Birdie Street to Champlain. Very well-utilized path, but in very poor condition. So as part of the master plan exercise, that's on my list. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Are there any other comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll move to the next project. ENHA 18, Neighborhood Park Enhancements, which has a budget allocation of $25,000. Comments or questions? Your Worship?
Yes, it's not actually an improvement. It's a safety precaution. And it was raised with me a couple of nights ago about ash trees in some of the parks. And the one specifically that was referred to was ash trees in the Albert Street Park, close to the road near the hydro wires. And it may be that Canadian Niagara Power has some plan on that, but I wonder if Public Works could perhaps look at that.
Mr. Walsh, did you capture that?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. That's the Albert Street
Albert
Park?
Albert Street Park out by the road near the hydro wires that run along Albert Street.
Noted.
Thank you.
Are there any other comments or questions regarding this park? Seeing none, we'll move to the next one, which is FERN 23, Ferndale Multi-Use Court Conversion. Comments or questions regarding this? Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I know that the terminology and the usage trends always change. What currently do we consider as a part of a multi-use court?
So our current model, through you, Mr. Chair, our current model for a multi-use court is one, it applies to a two-court facility. One court is tennis and one court is basketball and ball hockey.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
The residents will be happy to see that we're including pickleball at this.
I'm just wondering what age you have to reach in order to be able to play pickleball.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Somebody's getting a new paddle for Christmas. No other comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll move on to the next project, which is SUGB 18, Sugar Bowl Park Pathway Replacement. Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It notes that the funding we're allocating will be used to replace approximately 1,000 square meters. Is that the totality of what has to be replaced?
Through you, Mr. Chair, my understanding in conversation with the manager of parks and facilities is that that will address, there was some work done this year, and that will address the remainder of the deteriorating pathway. It doesn't include all of the pathways in Sugar Bowl Park, but the ones that are problematic.
Okay. Through you, Mr. Chair, I would hope that for whatever reason, if the tendering comes back and we don't have enough to do that, I would hope that yourself and infrastructure would bring us back a report to possibly allocate some more funds. I want to try to get out of doing things piecemeal, especially on projects like that. Through you, Mr. Chair, thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments? Seeing none, we'll move to the next project, which is WFSG 18, Waterfront Parks and Window Signage, with a budget allocation of $30,000. Comments or questions? Seeing none, we will move to the next project, which is BATT 18, Battery Replacement and Maintenance for Fire and Emergency Services, budget allocation of $11,000. I see Chief Mellinson is here to answer any questions. Are there any questions or comments from Council? I just have one, Chief Mellinson. Are new recruits being included in this, or is this for the entire fire department, or just what's necessary to get by?
Sure. It's for the entire department. looking at our battery inventory and what is happening with it, this will take us to where we need to be, both in the department-wide. It's not recruit generated.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll move to the next project, which is BKGR18, replacement of bunker gear. Budget allocation of $51,000. Comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll move to the next project, which is CONV18, pump 6 conversion to heavy rescue. Budget allocation of $30,000. Your worship?
Yeah, I'm just wondering whether the chief would like to comment on some of the strategies that have been implemented with respect to equipment that we have at the various stations. I see there's going to be some movement of these trucks, and I wonder if the chief would like to comment on the overall strategy with respect to our
equipment. Chief Mullinson?
Through Mr. Chair, what we've done is as a group with the district chiefs and deputy district chiefs and input from communication meetings is to find a holistic approach to the budgetary restraints we're going to have when it comes to apparatus going forward. So the group got together, and in the end we truly amalgamated Central Station, and which means that instead of having apparatus there for two stations, we're paring it down to apparatus for a single district, single station. That means that they will go to one pump instead of two pumps at Central Station. And we would eliminate the heavy rescue and put the heavy rescue tools on the pump, remaining pump there. Similar to the strategy that was in Stevensville at Station 5, where they took the pump and put the heavy rescue tools on it. So what it does for us is it frees up two pieces of apparatus and allows us to use those two, which are newer, to replace the two old pieces of apparatus at Station 3. So we'll be able to replace Pump 3A and Utility 3 with those two pieces of apparatus. So we will go from six trucks or six pieces of apparatus at Central Station down to four by doing this.
Thank you, Chief Mullinson. Your Worship.
That's fine.
Councilor Passero.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm hoping the Chief could maybe expand on what that means towards the staffing complement and the benefits that go along with that, specifically to Central Station and the workload on the guys. We had a very good conversation today, and I found it very informative and positive.
Chief Mullinson.
Through you, Mr. Chair. The issue at Central Station was that they amalgamated two stations, two districts, but kept them separate as districts and responding trucks. So unfortunately for them, they were their own backup. So a typical structure fire response in our town is two pumps, two rescues, and an aerial. Well, Central Station has two pumps, two rescues, and an aerial, and they were backing themselves up. If you do the math on the number of firefighters required to man all of those trucks, they never were able to roll enough off of the pad to back themselves up. So what we've done is we've amalgamated the district, or in the process of amalgamating the districts of 1 and 2 into a single district, which will allow other districts, namely District 3 and District 5, to back them up. And they no longer have to have the complement that they required of 35 to 40 firefighters. We'll be able to reduce their number to 25, and they'll logically be able to meet the requirements of their area.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Chief. And all of these strategies I find are very positive, because it's working towards one fire department, whereas in the past, you know, we've had people who've thought of it as six and now five fire departments. We don't. We have one fire department, five stations, and looking forward to Crystal Beach and Ridgeway, hopefully down to four. It just makes sense to bring the community together from a firefighting perspective, and I'm glad that I'm starting to hear amongst all of the ranks a buy-in to this plan, and I appreciate the Chief's hard work in making it happen. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Just one follow-up question on what you just explained, and I guess the question for those listening at home would be the obvious one, which is, does a reduction in firefighters and a reduction in apparatus mean a reduction in service?
That's a good question, Mr. Chair. The answer is no. The fact is that we've had an idea of what the Fort Erie Fire Department was, which may not have been absolutely correct. You know, we believe that we had six districts and six stations with a complement of firefighters and a complement of apparatus, but our thought process is a little dated. In actual fact, we've been carrying a lower complement of firefighters, dedicated nonetheless, but a lower complement of firefighters, and they've been meeting the requirements of the town. We're just going to move logically to where we are rather than try to grow and or maintain what the past was given us.
Thank you very much. Are there any other comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll move to the next budget item, which is EXTD18, Fixed Communications Extender for Fire and Emergency Services, with a budget allocation of $12,000. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, we will move to the next item, which is MOTO18, Central Station Boat Motor Replacement, with a budget allocation of $25,000. Are there any comments or questions? Councillor McDermott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chief, what is the longevity of these motors?
For you, Mr. Chair, Councillor, the motors that are on those boats now are 11 years old. I think that we certainly will get, we've pushed the lifespan of those boats out to 30 years versus 20 where they're originally at. In consultation with Mike Turner, he believes that we certainly will get, if we maintain them the way we are, we'll get the end of life out of these mortars all the way to the end of when those boats are done.
Thank you very much, Chief. Any other questions, Councillor McDermott?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Welcome. Do any of the other councillors have questions or comments regarding this item? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to PAGE 18, the update for volunteer firefighter pagers, with a budget allocation of $28,000. Comments or questions? Seeing none, we will go ahead and move on to Port 18, Fire Officer Portable Radio Update Replacement, with a budget allocation of $12,000. Comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move on to REC R18, Recruit PPE, budget allocation of $40,000 for fire and emergency services. Comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll move to the next item, which is TOWR18, Refurbishment of the Training Center Infrastructure for Fire and Services, budget allocation of $25,000. Comments or questions? Councillor Zenko?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through you to the Chief. I was just curious. I know that there's the region and sometimes other municipalities utilizing our training facility. Do they contribute at all for the maintenance and upkeep?
Through you, Mr. Chair, Councillor Zenko, they pay a rental on the grounds. It's $500 per day, plus they pay for incidentals that they might use, like the skids, straw, propane, etc. We're doing an analysis now. Deputy Chief Ingalls is doing an analysis of whether $500 a day is actually enough, but we do get some return on rental.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Zenko. Are there any other questions or comments regarding this item? Seeing none, we'll move to the next item. Under Infrastructure Services, which is BAKR18, Baker Road Upgrade, budget allocation of $277,860. Comments or questions? I actually have a question for you, Mr. Walsh. Regarding this upgrade, at the corner of Baker Road and Black Creek, There's a lot of water pooling on a residence property. I've brought this to the attention. It has to do somewhat with the development that's going in back there, but the water is not making it to the corner to the catch basin where the catch basin is installed. So when this work is done, it is actually the southeast corner of Baker and Black Creek Trail that I'm referring to, or Black Creek Road. Will this rectify that problem?
Mr. Chair, I can't answer that question right now without more specifics and looking at the plans. I'll speak with Mr. Korovar in the morning and see where that can lead us.
Okay, thank you very much.
No other comments or questions. We'll move on to BRPL 19, Birdie Place Water Main Replacement. Budget allocation in 2018 of $26,000. Are there any comments or questions? Okay, seeing none, we'll move to the next item, which is BURB 18, Burbank Terrace Water Main Replacement, 2018 budget allocation of $18,000. Comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll move to the next item, which is CBDW 19, Crystal Beach Drive Water Main and Road Reconstruction, budget allocation $795,000 for 2018. There was a prior year contribution of $50,000. Comments or questions? Your Worship?
Is this project dependent upon us getting the OSIF funding that we anticipate we'll get? Are we guaranteed that?
The Chair, Mayor, that is guaranteed. We've been announced OSIF formula-based funding for the next 3 years, so that is reliable.
So we still have the ability, though, to apply for the top-up grant?
No, we're not. We had a cap on the town of $2 million, so our last year's OSIF formula plus the $816,000 we received put us at the max amount. So until they announce another round, there's no other available funding.
So, Mr. Chair,
yes?
Knowing the disorganization in Toronto, I think we should make another application and see if we can float it through.
I'd hate to see the penalty and clawback on that. Mr. Jansen's not in favor of that, let the record show. Are there any other comments or questions regarding that project? Seeing none, we'll move on to CRL S13, Crystal Ridge Landing Subdivision Upgrade for Thunder Bay, 2018 budget allocation of $394,000. Comments or questions? Your Worship?
So, Mr. Chair, I just need some clarification on this, and I've had some discussion with Mr. Brady about some developments where the developer ends up paying for infrastructure work that's off their site, and projects of this nature where it looks like we're going to be covering all of the cost, reserves, and some of the work that's done off-site, I know the developer pays for, and then we reimburse them at some later date. So I'm wondering if we can just get some clarity on how this all works, because we've got, I believe, two other infrastructure projects in our budget for 2018 where the developers are doing the work, they're doing the design work and the construction work, we're paying for it, and it's mostly being funded in part by development charges. And yet I know that there are some developments where in town where the developers are off-site infrastructure improvements, paying for it themselves.
Mr. Brady?
Certainly, through you to the Mayor. Not to be repeated, I know we're not being aired here tonight, but we actually try to get developers to pay as much as we possibly can. And the way that we do that is both through development charges and through the allocations when their projects come forward. If a road needs to be built because of a development, so it's an off-site road, one's a good example, it's just over by Green Acres here. It's one that needs to be built because there is a new development going down the end of it. We haven't put that in our DC budget because the road needs to be built to service that development. The developer will pay for that, period. And that will be dealt with through the subdividers agreement, and in fact it has been dealt with through the subdividers agreement. In other cases, there are pieces of roads that need to be rebuilt that may service more than one development and, quite frankly, may service an existing community and a new development. In those cases, we try to put those within the DC budget, and we take advantage of the when the developer comes forward to have them do the work. We then will pay them back out of our DC reserve when we have the money in the DC reserve to do so. So, for example, if Kelly has identified a project as part of the DCs that will come forth in 2020, but the developer wants to build it in 2018, we say, if you want to move ahead, build it. We'll pay it back to you, and a number is fixed. But they may not be paid back in 2018. They're far more likely to be paid in 2020, unless Kelly's feeling generous and gives it to them in 2019. So that's the, and he rarely does he feel generous. But that's the way we try to do it. We try to make it as fair as possible. But the rule of thumb is development should pay for development.
So Your Worship?
If I might, just a few questions arising out of that. So I understand the efficiencies that might be available if the developer is doing site work on his own development. But how do we know we're getting the best price if we're permitting the developer to do the design work and the construction work? How do we know that, because some of these projects can be quite large. One of them that we're going to be looking at tonight is almost $1 million. How do we know that we're getting the best dollar?
Mr. Walsh?
For you, Mr. Chair. The estimates provided in the development charges are the only monies we pay. And that also includes inflation. If the last DC study was done in 2014, the numbers were set. If a project is built off that that estimate in 2019, we pay the amount in there. We're very conservative in our estimating. When we put a budget price together for a town project, there is contingencies built in. When we estimate the cost for a DC project, we don't include those contingencies.
So a whole bunch of questions in my head now. The first one being, we're only committing a certain dollar amount to the project, then it turns out the design work and the construction work is going to cost more. Presumably, we're expecting the developer to pay that.
Correct.
That's correct.
What if it becomes something that's larger than the developer had anticipated? Do we run the risk of having situations like we've had recently where work gets held up? I mean, I understand that that could have an impact on the sale of lots in the development, but hold ourselves out to ransom to some extent.
Mr. Walsh?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Regulations within the Development Charges Act are fairly strict. I don't think we put ourselves at risk.
What if the developer refuses to spend any more money? Or do we get a commitment in the contract that we enter into that says that anything over and above X number of dollars, the developer will bear the burden for?
Mr. Brady?
Through to the mayor. Your last comment is exactly what we do. We identified that within there that the estimate, and this is within the subdivider's agreement or the site plan agreement, as the case may be, but in this case it would be a subdivider's agreement. We identify that what the DC number is, and the developer knows that they will be paid back that amount at some point in time in the future. And if they can operate with that, that's great. If for some reason they say, no, we don't want to do that, then we have two options. We say, fine, we'll take that out of the scope of work that's in the subdivider's agreement, and this will not move forward until such time as it fits into our capital budget, which may be 10 years from now. And you can go ahead with your subdivision if it's not required. If it is required, then you have a choice. You can wait for our capital budget to move forward, or you can come and try to talk us into doing something different. Rarely do we ever have to move to that latter part.
You may.
So how do we arrive? So we have these budget estimates in front of us this evening, and as I said, I think there are three examples. Where are we getting the budget amounts from?
Mr. Walsh?
Yeah, those are developed by internal staff at the time of report preparation, DC report. That's based on existing market conditions.
And so prior to this evening, prior to the council approving the budgets, do the developers who are involved with these various projects, do they have an understanding of what the council is looking at in terms of approving budget amounts for these projects?
Mr. Brady?
The estimates are all within the DC background study, and that is public. In fact, it's on our website. And if a developer wishes to take a look at it, they can look at it, and a number of them do. And when they look at it, if they have questions, they will commonly give either Jeremy a call or someone else on staff a call to get some further information. So the information's there. If they didn't look it up, that's not my issue. But we make that publicly available. Also, when we do our DC studies, all of the background information is available, and we reach out to the development community at that time. We'll be, I think it's in here this evening, or we'll be starting a new DC study soon, and through terms of reference will go out, we'll hire a consultant. And as we move through that for the next five-year period, the development community is involved, and they can look at the numbers and see if it makes sense or if it doesn't make sense and ask questions. And they do from time to time. So if you will, they're provided the opportunity when the study is being undertaken to participate. And if they have large holdings in proximity to where there are projects that are needed, I would think it's well within their while to address that. And then, of course, after the background study is approved by council and the DC is in place, that information is always public to them, and they can look at that.
Thank you, Mr. Brady. Your Worship?
Yes, thank you. So the engineer, most of these say that the developer's engineer design of the project is being completed by the developer's consultant, so that presumes that this work is happening right now. What would our position be if the consultant provides to the developer an indication of what the actual cost of construction will be? They found something that requires some additional work because of the design that they've undertaken, and they say, look, at budget for the town says X number of dollars, this is going to cost you Y. Can the developer simply say, look, I'm not really interested in doing the construction?
Mr. Brady?
Yes, they can.
And then
now, the issue is, can they say, no, we don't want to do the construction? Absolutely. Is that construction absolutely required for their development to move ahead? Well, if it is, then their development's not going to be moving ahead. If they say, for example, we're going to do all the internal work and connect to the existing sewer on Prospect, for example, and we don't believe that the number that you provided us is sufficient, so we don't want to have that as part of our project, we'll say, fine. And then we'll deal with it when the tenure capital budget moves forward, and it'll be part of a town project.
If it's an upgrade that's necessary for the water or the sewer or the storm sewer, and I know that on Prospect there's some storm sewer improvements that are required, that would the town could insist upon that work being done before development proceeds. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions or comments? Councillor Luberts?
Yeah, just thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just for curiosity, when it says that the reconstruction of Thunder Bay Road will be done to the urban standard, what is the urban standard? And what I'm looking for, is a sidewalk included in that? Because I know we've had a lot of discussions with people from Ridgeway by the lake, and they're requesting a sidewalk on Thunder Bay Road. And I'm wondering, are we anticipating that we're going to be putting sidewalks around?
Mr. Walsh?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Urban standard is sidewalks, curb and gutter, storm sewer, sanitary sewer, water, no ditches.
Sounds like Hazel McKay.
And I'm assuming that will be the same thing when they do the when they do more construction along Thunder Bay Road, the north side of Thunder Bay Road.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Any other questions, comments, Councilor Lubbers? Seeing none, we'll move to the next project, which is GODR15, Goderich Street Water Main and Storm Sewer Replacement. Prior year budget allocation of $49,000. This 2018 budget allocation is $457,000. Comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll move on. The next project is HAGY14, Hagee Avenue Road Extension. Prior year budget allocation of $20,000. 2018 budget allocation of $100,000. Your Worship?
Is this a project that if funding became available, we would proceed with it? It's one of those projects that we're doing the design work now so that we're ready just in case.
Mr. Walsh?
Yeah, so that's exactly why it's slated the where it is. When you see a gap between, more than a one-year gap between our design year and our construction year, it means we're looking for alternate funding.
Councillor Passera? Or, I'm sorry, Your Worship.
Yeah, I'm done. Thank you.
Done? Okay. Councillor Passera?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to thank staff for moving this up in the schedule. This accomplishes a couple of objectives, sets the stage, as it mentions, for possibly a future Rich Products expansion. I know in the need for project, it says it will also help to keep traffic off Hospital Drive. Before you get to Hospital Drive, you got to go down Birdie Street, and to me, that's just as important of a component as get the truck traffic out of that neighborhood. So I'm excited to see this at least get on the books, and if we do have any type of funding that comes forward, we can probably make this fit into several different categories depending on the grant's criteria. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Passero. I do have a question regarding this project for Mr. Walsh. And considering the dip in the road and the overpass there, has any thought consideration given to if this will be a one-way entrance or will it be an in-and-out type situation? Simply because it's so close to an intersection at Birdie and Concession where there's been a lot of vehicle collisions, and with this dipping down under the overpass and the limited sight line, will this create another area where we might be running into a collision area?
Mr. Chair, when we do design, we look at all factors of road construction. One is sight line, so that'll be taken into account.
Thank you very much. I just want to make sure that would get in there. Any other comments or questions regarding this project? Seeing none, we'll move to the next one, which is HIGH18, Highland Avenue Sanitary Sewer and Road Reconstruction, 2018 budget allocation of $100,000. Councillor McDermott?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to also like to thank staff with regards to...
Can you turn on your mic, please, Councillor McDermott? Thank you.
One thing that we did notice once the road resurfacing project began was that the asphalt and the curb were failing, and it really wasn't meeting the needs of the constituents. Since that time, we've had the mayor and I and staff have had a conference with the constituents who agree that the street should be moved up, and they were quite satisfied with the meeting that we had. So I'd just like to thank staff for the work that they've done here, and hopefully 2019 this will be a lovely project and a good ending to the whole Highland Road saga. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor McDermott. Councillor Lubberts, and then His Worship.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I guess another, just out of curiosity, we're working on Highland Avenue now, the other portion of Highland Avenue. My question, why couldn't we have done the design work for the whole of Highland at that when we were doing the design work for the first portion and then do the construction later? I mean, it seems like just a small little portion of Highland is being done now, and it's $100,000 for design. Just out of curiosity, why wouldn't it be the whole road be done at once?
Mr. Walsh?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There's a little bit of history behind this here. The original scope of work for Highland Avenue construction was from
Crooks to Central. At the time of design, it was determined or was found out that the storm sewer between Central and the Parkway was not big enough in diameter. So only the Central or that storm sewer was added to the scope of work with a minor resurfacing included. And then through the project, other issues became apparent during construction in the eastern section, which necessitated this project moving forward. Ideally, back when the original project was scoped from Crooks to Central, there wasn't any budget accommodation for the eastern portion. As you can see, it's close to $1 million project. It's not minor work. I think if it had been minor work, we would have included it and came back to council seeking that that increase in scope of work. But as we determined, it's a large portion of work, so we felt it best was to rebudget it. Ideally, we'd do it all at once.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Any other questions, Councilor Lubberts? No? Seeing none, he'll go to his worship.
Thank you. Just of a general nature, whenever we're doing sanitary sewer replacement or storm sewer work, do these projects qualify for possible funding from the region's CSO grant program?
Mr. Walsh?
Mr. Chair, there is a small portion that's available. This is a separate system, as you know, separate storm and sanitary sewers. A reconstruction with footing drain disconnection is low on the region's totem pole for the allocation of their CSO funds, as opposed to a separation of a combined sewer, for instance, like Niagara Falls has. We did apply for this project and did not receive any funding. It simply didn't have the bang for the buck that the region was looking for in their limited pot of money this year.
Okay, so going forward, I know that we've done quite well with respect to the applications we've made and the amount that the region has provided to us, which I think is a credit to our staff. So going forward, we continue to look, I presume, for opportunities to gain money from the region on these types of projects.
We certainly do, Mr. Chair. We internally, as staff, have a meeting next week to determine what we're going to be applying for the region in 2018.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Are there any other questions or comments regarding this project? Seeing none, we will move forward with Project HIWM19, High Street Water Main Replacement. 2018 budget contribution of $40,000. Comments or questions, Your Worship?
I don't know if the water line runs all the way to Catherine Street, but I'm wondering if it does. Well, maybe I could ask that question. Does it run all the way south to Catherine Street?
Mr. Walsh?
Through you, Mr. Chair, the water main does, but the portion not highlighted there is already PVC.
All right.
Thank you. Any other? Councillor Passero?
Yeah, I note the original was put in between 1920 and 39. Could we ask Councilor McDermott just to verify Mr. Walsh's statement?
Harsh. Very harsh.
Councilor McDermott is nodding in the affirmative. Are there any other questions or comments regarding that? Seeing none, we'll move to the next project, which is NMLL22, North Mill Street Water Main Replacement. Prior year contribution of $30,000, 2018 budget contribution of $566,000. Comments or questions? Councillor Butler, then His Worship.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through you to Mr. Walsh, I just wanted to thank you and your team for taking care of the needs of all the constituents in Fort Erie, but I just wanted to express my and extend my gratitude for recognizing the needs of my constituents in Ridgeway area, and the work on North Mill that you're proposing to do will be extremely costly but needed, and wanted to thank you for advancing that road project 4 years ahead of schedule.
Thank you, Councillor Butler. His Worship?
Yes, I just wanted to reiterate that this is going to make a lot of residents happy, because if this road was scheduled for 4 years from now, there's absolutely no way it would have made it. So I think this is an excellent project to be moving forward on. I can't tell you how many complaints I've received, and Councillor Butler, I'm sure you've received just as many. So this is a good project, and I'm sure that it's well merited.
Are there any other comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll move to the next project, which is PPFC 25 Prospect Point Road Upgrade. 2018 budget allocation of $241,800. Comments or questions, Your Worship?
So the only question that I had is this project coupled with another project that is further back in our agenda that's going to result in improvements to Prospect Point Road between Thunder Bay Road and Highland will then leave about three blocks of Prospect Point Road, which will look like the semi-rural location that the coal road currently is in, except a little portion close to the Dominion. And the rest of the road will look like a modern urbanized road. My question is, when will we contemplate completing that section so that it looks like a real modern road commensurate with the construction that's taken place around it and the neighborhood, I believe, that's attempted to be constructed?
I believe that's the very next project in the book.
It only takes it to Highland.
No, no, the next project. We're not there yet. Over the map. Okay, sorry.
I had some discussion with Mr. Walsh about this earlier today. Maybe he could chime in on that.
Apologies, Your Worship.
Mr. Walsh?
Mr. Chair, my apologies. I don't have the exact timing of that project in the middle there, but it will be a development-driven project funded primarily through DCs. Off the top of my head, I don't have the timing on it.
That's something that you could make available to us. And again, I suppose that would be subject to grant funding that we might receive, but there would need to be some design work. And I'm wondering whether it wouldn't be prudent to maybe try to do that design work, if not this year, then maybe in next year's budget so that if opportunities arise.
Certainly look into that.
Any other questions, Your Worship?
Fine, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions regarding this project? Councillor Lubberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just looking at the location of this, I know we're doing some construction right now on Hibbard. And will the construction of Hibbard Street do any damage to this here? I mean, is the timing going to be so that Hibbard will be, they'll be finished even on the other side? Aren't they contemplating the other side of Hibbard Street to do some new housing there too as well?
Who wants to take that one, Mr. Walsh or Mr. Brady?
The reconstruction of Hibbard from Prospect Point Road to Ridge Road is underway now, both in terms of water main and the road, as well as basements are being dug for development in that area for townhouses, which will be going in on both sides of Hibbert. When this construction is complete, which will be before the work on Prospect Road starts, it will be finished. Hibbert Street will be a full urban road. Then the piece across on Prospect, I believe, is going to be picked up by the developer to the east, and that will be started next year. So what you'll end up with is Hibbert will be a full urban section, and then Prospect will be a full urban section down to the corner of Hibbert. And then as the mayor has pointed out, then there will be a gap for about three blocks before the other work is done.
So in other words, the timing between the two projects will coincide and everything. At the end, they'll just tie in. That was all I was worried about. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, we'll move to the next project, PPTH-19 Prospect Point Road Upgrade Phase 3. 2018 budget allocation of $925,080. Mayor? Comments or questions?
I've already covered this with my multitudinous questions.
Are there any other comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move to the next project, which is SCHO-14, Schooley Road, Storm Sewer Outlet and Drain. Prior year budget allocation of $300,000. 2018 budget allocation of $249,080. Comments or questions? Seeing none,
we'll go ahead and move to the next project, which is SCHO-15, Schooley Road Upgrade. 2018 budget allocation of $267,250. Comments or questions regarding this project? Seeing none, we'll then move on to the next project, which is SMTH-19, Smith Street Water Main Replacement. 2018 budget allocation of $18,000. Comments or questions? Seeing none, we will go ahead and move on to Project GATE-14, Gateway Feature QEW. Prior year budget allocation of $130,000, 2018 budget allocation of $100,000. And comments or questions on the Gateway Feature QEW? I'm going to go to His Worship, Councillor Butler, and Councillor Passero. You can have it at the end.
Mr. Chair, my comments are simply that I would like to see us doing some type of public contest so that we can see all kinds of ideas from people. We've got lots of graphic artists in town, from town, lots of people that are interested in this, and then maybe somehow filter out something that could then be properly designed by an engineer or architect or whoever does that thing, rather than go to a consultant to do that. I think we can, we've had the interest in the community, we've had delegations that have come out with respect to this, and I think it's a great opportunity for us to draw on the energy and the ideas of the community. When we move forward with this, I hope that that's one of the processes that we follow.
Thank you very much, Your Worship. Councillor Butler?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with the Worship. Or worship, see worship. We can go to worship. But my question is, are we stuck on Town Line Road? Because I have a problem with Town Line Road. It doesn't distinguish that that's actually the starting point of the Town of Ford area. I would think that prior to Sodom Road would be the most advantageous site.
Mr. Cookett?
Through your chair, the councillor. That's something that we can look into. I know we had discussions with the MTO in the past, and this was their suggested location for various reasons, being that it is in Fort Erie. But I think there was other issues as far as sight lines and being able to visually see the sign in this location. So this came from them, so we would have to go back to and have discussions with them and see if there is another location. So we'll keep that in mind moving forward and see if they're receptive to us moving this to another location, which is further to Niagara Falls.
Thank you, Mr. Cookett. Councillor Butler, do you have any other questions? Okay, I'm going to go to Councillor Passero, Councillor McDermott, and then I'll come back to you, Your Worship.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm excited to see this moving forward. I agree that there is an element we could include as far as public consultation and solicitations of interest, as far as what features could be included, different themes possibly that could be included, but I think it would be a nightmare to lay it out in such a way that we say, please design the sign, bring it in, we're going to pick something, and we're going to build it. There are structural considerations, there are design considerations, landscaping considerations, but as far as having people like we had with Mr. McCui come forward with design ideas as to what do they think Fort Erie represents and what should we be showcasing as people enter, I'm all for that, but I think we need to draw a very fine line as to what the engagement process is going to look like, just so people aren't under any type of false hope that we're actually going to be accepting somebody's drawing that comes in and that's going to be the next highway sign. I just don't see that as being practical. But I welcome the community's input. There's a lot of great ideas out there, and that was referenced just a few weeks ago. Thank you.
Councillor McDermott?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I was going to cover what Stephen just mentioned, but I think at the end of the day, I know that all I've heard since we had the first sign in front of us is that local business people and tourist attractions want to sign up there. So I think the time for dawdling around about the signs is over. I think we have to get to it and get the signs up. I mean, good Lord, we're the gateway to Canada. We should be able to figure this out in a reasonable fashion. So it's my hope that this year we actually design and put these signs up. I think it's incumbent on us to do so to show what a welcoming community we are, and that people aren't just using Fort Erie as a quick run-through down the Queen Elizabeth. We've got to give them a reason to stop, so an attractive sign is what we need. And I don't really think that we should take forever to do it, and I don't think it should have really taken up to this long to do it. So I appreciate all that will be done to move this ahead very quickly.
Thank you, Councillor McDermott. I'm going to go to Councillor Lubberts. Spoken yet. Go ahead, Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. As far as the location, we've discussed the location and debated over the location of the sign for years now, and it seems like some people think that it should be right around the Bowen Road area, and I agree. But every time it's been brought up, we've been told that, well, we'll look into it. We need some kind of a time frame as to when, or we need an answer. Can we put it at Bowen Road? And so we need the answer. I mean, I don't know that Sodom Road. Because I think the time debate is over. The question is whether it can be done or not. We need a definite answer, because if we're going to go forward with this, we need to know where it's going to be located. Because when we decide that we're going to put it up, then that's going to be a whole new debate, and I don't know that we need to debate it. If it can be put at the Sodom Road, then let's put it at Sodom Road, or then let's debate where we're going to put it. But can we get a timeline as to when we'll get an answer from staff?
Yep, Mr. Cookett.
Yeah, through you, Chair, Councilor Lubberts. With all due respect, the decision was made by the MTO, and this was not their location. So I'm willing to go back to them and try to convince them that we need to put it at Sodom. But if ultimately it comes down to their decision, it's not going at Sodom. They said no, they would not put it there. So hopefully there's been a change in staff and we can go there and convince them this is the right location. So that's why my response to Councillor Butler was, yes, let's try again and get it at further towards Niagara Falls.
In all fairness to the budget deliberations and going into early next year, would it be acceptable to you, Councillor Lubberts, if we ask for Mr. Cookett to report back at the end of the first quarter next year?
Yes, and one of the things we might want to think about too is, I don't know how the process or anything, but we've been told that location is actually in Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls owns it, so obviously we're going to have their permission to put the sign there. Is that part of the decision making with MTO, that it's not in your jurisdiction, so you can't put it there? Can we talk to Niagara Falls and ask Niagara Falls to work with us to convince them that this is the best location for us?
Mr. Cookett?
Yeah, through you, Chair. Those discussions were had before, and Niagara Falls has no issues with it. We've had some preliminary discussions, and they said they were fine with it being at Sodom. It was the MTO that was the roadblock.
Does that give you enough time, Mr. Cookett, in the first quarter?
Yes.
Thank you. I'm going to go to His Worship, and then to yourself. There is one question, though, before I do go back to His Worship, and then you. Just for clarification, Mr. Walsh, this project refers just to the gateway signage, not the wayfaring signage that Councillor, because I thought last year we had decided that wayfinding signage would be placed and we would move forward, and it was already accounted for in last year's budget.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, this project refers specifically to the gateway sign. The wayfinding project, as Council will recall, hopefully, was forwarded the $100,000 to accelerate that. Unfortunately, there's not interest in the business community to help the town out right now. We issued an RFP because the study is approaching 15, 17 years old. I wanted to issue an RFP to go back and revisit the findings in there to confirm what we should be putting up, develop sign standards that met the MTO and the region requirements and the Parks Commission, and develop the list of signs and a construction spec, and I was hoping they would be up by now. So we issued an RFP in May. We got zero submissions on it. So then it was contacting firms that have this skill, and I'm on my third firm, and I finally got a firm that wants to do the project. I've yet to receive a quote back from them. It's been about 3 or 4 weeks since I've sent them the RFP document. So I'll be working through the winter on this project, and hopefully come springtime, early summer, we can roll out actual signs.
Okay. Thank you very much for the update. You have a follow-up question to that, Councillor Butler? Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to follow up with that. Is it because of the amount of money that we're offering for an RFP is subpar, and we should be looking at increasing that dollar figure?
Through you, Mr. Chair, I think the value of the project of what we're offering is fair. That's all I can offer right now. So,
okay, I'm going to go to his worship, then back to Councillor Passero.
Yeah, I was just going to say, in connection of this, I think the further west we can get this sign on the highway, the better. I know that the MTO takes issue with Sodom Road, but any place farther west would be good. And I can't believe that the MTO would actually tell us that that we can't put a sign up inside the boundary of Niagara Falls, since the Welcome to Niagara Falls sign is 1.3 kilometers inside our boundary. So it seems to me that that's a little bit much for the MTO to take that attitude. And if the city of Niagara Falls is A-OK, I can't understand what the possible problem could be. I'd certainly love to assist.
Just a quick comment on that. The sign that identifies Niagara Falls is actually a highway blue sign. It's not a gateway feature, so that's the difference.
1.3 kilometers inside our boundary. It's amazing. They've even got seven, the sign that says seven exits to Niagara Falls. That's within the town of Fort Erie as well. So,
I have a chainsaw you can borrow.
Well, I know that it was a different time. I know that it would have been different staff, but really, shouldn't make any difference. And I feel your pain dealing with the MTO. I understand that, but they're I guess what we would used to say, too much.
Councillor Passero, and then I'm going to come to Councillor McDermott.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We may have to buy 200 square feet off the city of Niagara Falls for a dollar just to make it happen. But a couple of points. The sign we're speaking of, Townline Road or West, we are not budgeting any money for a second sign, Peacebridge. We have a parcel that's picked out. There is no Welcome to Fort Erie signage in that area at all, except for one that the EDTC put up many, many years ago that right now has festivals on there that don't exist anymore. And it's kind of as you approach the crossroads intersection. I'm hoping that maybe in 2019 we could look at a budget for maybe a couple $1,000s, even for a billboard style sign that just says Welcome to Fort Erie, because you have all that traffic coming across the Peace Bridge. The only thing they see is Welcome to Canada. There's nothing absolutely anywhere that says Fort Erie. And a second point, just because the discussion kind of led into the wayfinding, is last year I had asked if we could, and there was consensus among council, to look at signage that recognized the service clubs in town, possibly located here. And at the time, we were looking at tying that in to the overall wayfinding signage program. From what I'm hearing, I'm hoping we can maybe remove that from the wayfinding signage program, because I'd like to do that in the intermediary. If we wait until we get everything lined up for the wayfinding, we may be waiting a year or a year and a half. I think the service club signage is something that could be done relatively quickly. So I'm hoping through Mr. Walsh we can maybe bring that up in the new year and kind of separate that out and get it done. I apologize. It has nothing to do with what we're on right now. But
absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome. Councillor McDermott?
I got to apologize too, but I just heard about the wayfinding signs. I got to step in and talk about this for a second. So I go back about to the, not the last term of office, but the one before that, near the end, toward the election campaign. This wayfinding sign business has been going on since then. Mr. Mastacci, I believe, was here. Mr. Chip were here at that point. And businesses have been promised and promised and promised that these signs were going to get up, because, I mean, How do we direct them if we don't have the signs? So we've waited now. This will be the third council that's dealing with these signs. And we have to find a way. I mean, I don't know what that way is, but we have to get these signs up in 2018. I mean, we can't keep promising people things and not delivering on it. So, I'm finding we do this more and more and more every time we're making decisions on things that were promised long ago, or, you know, we've got to stop doing that. So we have to expand our horizons. If we only have one outfit that's going to do it, let's lock it up and let's get going. Because they're not going to understand this inaction. They just won't. And they are clamoring for these signs, and we have to deliver them. It's incumbent on us to do that as the leaders in this community. So I just want to pass that on, because if I didn't say that, I'm sure I'd have a whole lot of phone calls tomorrow.
No problem, Councillor McDermott. The only reason why I asked for the distinction is I don't want the wayfinding signage to be confused with this project in the budget, because we've already allocated in last year's budget to the wayfinding signage, and that they are two different projects. And I just want, for those listening at home that may not be following along, they're just similar but different. Yes, Your Worship.
Just in fairness, the staff, according to Mr. Walsh, has been working on trying to get a consultant. They put out the RFP, got no responses, have had three tries to get a consultant. Looks like they've got somebody interested, but can't get confirmation with respect to pricing. So I don't want it to be left with the impression that the staff hasn't been trying to get this move forward. I understand the anxieties of the business community, and rightly so. It's the same in Ridgeway. They would like the signage as well. But I just want to make it clear that the staff has been endeavoring to do that. It's in the absence of a willing party, it's very difficult.
Okay. I really...
Just 2 seconds.
All indulge.
I just want you to know that there's no implication ever that I've been sitting at this table since I've been elected that I would ever do try to besmirch staff or pretend it's their fault, because it's not. I just know the need to get it done, and it's one of these guys that if you get onto a project, we just have to follow it out. And I have every reason to believe that Mr. Walsh is quite capable of doing that.
Thank you, Councillor McDermott. We're going to go ahead and move on to GRRP18, Guide Rail Replacement, 2018 budget allocation of $50,000. Comments or questions? I have one question, Mr. Jansen. In the comments on the report, it states that another $50,000 would be allocated to cover the remaining 200 meters in the future budget, but under 2000, is that reflected under 2019? Because it's not in the worksheet here.
The comment here does say that the 17 included $50,000. You're asking about 2019?
Yes.
Unless Mr. Walsh knows, I'll check the forecast section.
Mr. Walsh?
Mr. Chair, the GRRP 18, it's an annual $50,000 amount we put in there. It alternates with our catch basin replacement program, which is $50,000. They flip back and forth every other year. So the next year for the guide rail program would be 2020.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I looked in the 2019. I didn't see it there, so I was just curious as to which prior year it would be in. Thank you for any other comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll move on to HUC18, Hope Crescent Road Reconstruction, 2018 budget allocation of $100,000. Comments or questions? Councillor Zanko?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through you to Mr. Walsh, on the same evening as this motion passed, we also put forward a motion that would allow design work for Lakeside Road. I haven't seen that anywhere in this budget, and I'm just wondering if that was perhaps missed, and I wanted to get some direction because I do want to ensure that that design work is included in this budget.
Mr. Walsh?
Through you, Mr. Chair. Councillor, I recall that conversation completely, and I could swear it was in here.
Chair, if I could just jump in real quick.
Yes.
I believe that we had allocated funds for design in previous years, prior years. Mr. Walsh, if you could check into that, but I thought we had already allocated some money to do the design with the construction coming up in the near future.
Mr. Jansen?
Yeah, if you look in your budget package, section 5 for 2020, there is a that's not the design, I'm assuming, but there is Lake 07 Lakeside Road water main replacement for $885,000. I do believe we previously had a design component already in place as well for that. I would have to confirm that as well.
So you're going to confirm that? Or Mr. Walsh, you'll confirm that for Councillor Zenko?
Yes, I will.
Thank you. Councillor Passero?
Yeah, what is our next step then? I just want to make sure that this is in there. Is that something that can be brought back at the bylaw stage? I just want to make sure that we don't leave tonight without having some confirmation that, or at least getting it from staff that this is something that will be included. I know that to Mr. Jansen's reference, the 2020 speaks of the water main replacement. There's no real details as to the extent of that project and what's included. That may or may not encompass what Councillor Zenko has in mind as far as design. So maybe staff could speak with Councillor Zenko. I just want to make sure that this comes back in some way, shape, or form before we pass everything. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I'm going to go to Mr. Walsh. Do you want to? Okay, I'll go to His Worship for a question, then Councillor Lubberts.
So my first question would be, where ordinarily is this particular road on our list of roads for repair, reconstruction, or is it on the list at all?
Mr. Chair, it's beyond the 10-year program right now.
And is there water or sewer infrastructure underneath this road?
We have a water main underneath it.
Know how old that water main is?
It's about 40 or 50 years old. It's a cast iron water main. It's not at the proper depth. We know that.
So is this a candidate to be replaced sooner rather than later?
Can you define sooner?
Well, sometime before 10 years, because you've said it's not on the 10-year list, or you're just referring to the road.
Mr. Chair, we've done our 10-year projection out of our water main works, both through our budgeting process and the recently completed master plan. And through that, it wasn't in the 10-year program. We haven't experienced any operational difficulties with it right now. And as council will recall, the 10-year program is focused on water mains that are giving us a maintenance nightmare now, either through breaks or water quality issues.
So this is, my recollection is this is a tar and chip road.
Correct.
But there are some drainage issues. Is that correct? Were there some drainage issues last year with respect to this little stretch of road?
There were drainage complaints.
It all depends on what driveway you're standing in, whether you see it's an issue or not. I know Councillor Lewis, you want to speak to this, but if I might interject and make a suggestion with regards to this, because it is outside the 10-year plan, is there a way we could reduce the, or multi-stage the design work so that, absolutely, go
I'm
ahead.
Heading in that direction.
Yep, absolutely.
So ordinarily when we do when we resurface a road, if parts of this road need to be resurfaced, we wouldn't be doing design work. Is that correct, Mr. Walsh?
Through you, Mr. Chair. If it's just a resurfacing, no.
And if we're doing drainage work, I can understand that there may be some surveying that would be necessary to get proper falls and that type of thing. But ordinarily, would that require design work by an engineer as well?
We would look at that internally, but yes, it would require design.
But we could do that internally.
That's correct.
So I guess what I'm thinking that we could do the design work for this road. It may cost $100,000. That's what we're budgeting. And that $100,000 for design work doesn't actually change the road or the drainage whatsoever. Is there something that we can do that would actually address the drainage and the road without the necessity of doing design work so that we actually allocate a portion of this money towards making the improvements that I think the residents actually want sooner rather than later?
From
From my inspections on this road, with respect to drainage, there's only minor drainage improvements that need to be required. Some minor ditch cleaning. From what I understand, the big complaint from the residents out here is the grade of the road in comparison to their driveways. It's significantly higher, and that's through the placement of gravel and recycled asphalt products through the years. I'll stop there right now.
Maybe so what you're suggesting is that if you're going to change the elevation of this road, you're going to have some design work done.
Certainly. If we lower the road to what the residents, I think, would prefer, we now have, although the water main doesn't have enough cover on it already, it would be severely impacted to the effect that we had a couple of years ago with our frozen services. I think we're in danger of frozen water mains here. In addition to that, there's a gas main that would that's underneath the road that would likely have substandard cover as well. So the design component I've requested here is to look at all the issues: gas main, water main, road reconstruction, drainage improvements, and come up with a construction estimate.
Okay, I get that, and I understand the concerns of the residents that live on the road. There are a dozen, maybe 15 residents on this.
I think the numbers are relevant. They're taxpaying residents, like every...
Yep. That's fair enough.
Taxpaying resident is entitled to the same level of service in this town, in my opinion.
Well, then they would have paved road with curbs and gutters and sidewalks. But
can I just ask Councillor Passero, because it might be my understanding, but that's what they're asking for. They're asking for a proper road.
Full urban standard road in an urban...
Councillor Passero.
Thank you. I had dealt with this as a Ward 1 councillor. It's kind of on a shared boundary, but and that's long-term what the residents are asking for, is what is the long-term plan? They are not happy with the elevation, as Mr. Walsh spoke to. They were conveyed the information as to why we can't just go in and take the cap off because of the services that are there. That led into the question, well, how do we fix this? And the answer was, it's a larger project than what you may realize. And the only way to get to that end goal at some point is by having a plan. And that's what this detailed design work would do. I don't think the residents are expecting us to put any money in for construction this year, next year, or the year after, but they want to see what is the plan. Get something on the books that shows us long-term what can we expect for the future of our road. Because right now there's been uncertainty. We've gone in and done some Band-Aid fixes that they haven't been happy with, given the utilities. So they just want to see what the roadmap is, no pun intended. But I definitely don't think the residents are looking to do this in the short term. They recognize where they live, very rural area. They're not going to get an urban cross-section tomorrow, next year, probably within 5 years. But long-term, what's the plan, especially given a potential development that could be occurring just to the southwest of there? So all those things taken into consideration. I support moving ahead with the design work, getting it on the books. Who knows what may come forward as far as some capital. But if we were looking to put forward money tonight for construction, I would say not necessary. We have other priorities. But as far as design work, I would support that.
Your Worship.
No, I've said what I'm thinking, and I don't disagree with you, but we have many, many, many residents who have issues, and it would be great if we had all of the money that was available. And I understand that at least doing the design work gives some indication that there's a plan. But that doesn't solve the problem of the residents for the time being, and we're not really committing to when that would be. So it doesn't really, I guess it's a step forward, but it doesn't get them to the end of their journey.
Councillor Lubberts, you had a comment?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Mr. Walsh, you talked about the, if we lowered the level of the road, that we run into trouble with the water main being too close to the surface and we could end up with the freezing How did the water main get that close to the surface? I mean, somewhere along the lane, somebody put that water main in, and it seems to me that maybe the water main was put in too high.
Mr. Walsh?
Given the age of the water main out here, it was likely put in the 50s, and at that time, that was the construction standard. Through experience more than anything, we realized that the deeper a water main is, the better off it is in terms of protection from the elements.
Councilor Liberts?
The construction standards in them days was that they would allow a water main to be in the frost level. I mean, frost level hasn't changed since the beginning of time. The frost level is the frost level, and we always put water lines below the frost level. So I'm just curious as to how that happened. My second question is, this is design work that we're talking about, $100,000?
For you, Mr. Chair, yes, it is.
I'm going back in this package here, and I'm looking at all the other projects that are here, and here's one that's just an example, is Crystal Beach Drive. We're going to put a water main, and we're going to reconstruct the road, and the design work was $50,000, and we're talking $100,000 for the design work to reconstruct the road, do some drainage. I'm thinking the drainage is going to be ditching. I don't know that it's, you know, we're going to put any culverts or anything in there. Why is it $100,000? Or why the difference between the two?
Mr. Walsh?
Sorry about that. When we estimate design fees, we estimate them at 10% of construction. For this project, given the works entailed, new water main, likely a new gas main, which we would have to pay for, new road structure, drainage improvements, we're probably looking at $1 million project here. 10% of that is $100,000. That's how we came up with $100,000.
Well, then let's look back at Crystal Beach Drive, $795,000, and still it's only a $50,000 design fee. It's almost $1 million. For $50,000, I don't. This should have been $80,000 design fee. I don't know where we're coming up with. I'm just curious. I think $100,000 is excessive, and the reasoning I'm saying that is because when we're doing the design, we're going to look at the road. You can assess the whole road, and then it only takes 100 feet. You can design the first 100 feet. The next 1,000 feet is going to be the same design, basically. So 10% of the whole cost, I don't know that that would work out. But even still, Crystal Beach Drive isn't 10% of the entire cost. And I mean, if it's $100,000, it's $100,000. But I have to question why. And I'm just curious as to how we come up with that number. $100,000 seems excessive for the design work.
Are there any other comments or questions? Mr. Walsh, did you want to? No? Okay. Nothing to add. Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can we just go back to Mr. Crooked for resolution on Councillor Zanko's lakeside question?
Absolutely. Through you, Chair, I hope I'm not repeating what was already discussed. I jumped out for a minute, but what we have for lakeside is $70,000 set aside for design. That's been pre-approved. That goes back to 07. There was $20,000. Then we upped it to, we added another $50,000. So we have $70,000 in there right now. Just looking at the forecast, it shows us as 2019 is doing the road works. So we would advance that if that's the will of council. So we do have the design money in there already.
Thank you.
So we can deal with that at the end of the report. Seeing no other comments or questions, we will move to the next item, which is RRSI 19, Ridge Road and Rebsock Road Signal Rebuild, budget allocation of $50,000. Comments or questions? Seeing none, Councillor Liberts, go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I guess my question would go to Mr. Walsh again. Having going by this intersection on a regular basis during the day while I'm working, I've also noticed that, you know, the curb work and the boulevards and everything, I had to ask that the weeds be taken down in this summer because they're growing in all the cracks around there. And is this going to tackle the boulevard that's like all the whole intersection and the signals, or is it just going to be the electrical portion?
Mr. Walsh?
For you, Mr. Chair, this is just the electrical portion, poles, lights, signal box.
And what would it take to get the other boulevards repaired as well?
Mr. Chair, it sounds like it's a maintenance item. We'll take a look at it.
Okay, thank you.
Very much. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, we'll move to the next project, which is RSRF 18, 2018 Road Resurfacing Program. Budget allocation of $1.3 million. Comments or questions? Okay, seeing none. We'll go ahead and move on to BRIG 18, 2018 Bridge and Culvert Replacement. Prior year contribution was $220,000. 2018 contribution is $545,000. Comments or questions? Mr. Walsh, I have a question for you. The Ott Road Bridge over Black Creek between West Main Street and Fox Road, the top layer surface is concrete over the bridge, and it's been patched with cold patch asphalt. Can you tell me where that is in the replacement schedule? Because I didn't see it in the two-year work plan.
Mr. Chair, I don't have the bridge survey in front of me. I can get that information for you tomorrow and get back to you.
That's fine. Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments? Seeing none, we'll move to the next report, which is BRIG 19, 2019 Bridge and Culvert Replacement. Prior year this budget allocation for 2018 is $160,000. Your Worship.
Yeah, I just had a question with respect to the one structure that was referred to, the Gilmore Road Lane. Some question as to whether it's on private property. What if it is on private property? Is it part of a municipal drain that we'd be required to replace in any event?
Mr. Walsh?
On page 104. Fourth from the bottom.
Mr. Chair, that's most likely in the town's identified inventory. Although it may be on private property, I think because it's noted in here, it's a municipal structure.
And would that be because it's associated with a municipal drain?
Yeah, there's likely an outlet down there.
You're welcome. Are there any other comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll move to the next report, which is SIDE 18, 2018 Sidewalk Repair Program. Budget allocation of $200,000. Comments or questions? Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know at what point we started calling it the Sidewalk Repair and Removal Program. Years ago, it just used to be Sidewalk Repair and Replacement. But I'm wondering what constitutes or what is the process that determines when we would actually deem a sidewalk unnecessary?
Mr. Walsh?
Mr. Chair, we've had a number of sidewalks. Pieces of sidewalk we've removed in the past few years. For instance, I can recall one, I'm not sure what street it was on exactly, but it was in Thunder Bay. There was a section of sidewalk in front of a house. There was old sidewalk in disrepair. There was nothing leading up to it and nothing to the west, nothing east, nothing west. In that case, we removed it and reinstated the owner's property with grass. So it's isolated sections of sidewalk with no connection is when we remove them.
I'm hoping in future years, if situations do arise, that maybe we could advise or consult our active transportation committee. Maybe there could be a case be made that maybe we do complete the sidewalk to the east or west for some type of connection. I know there are certain situations, we just dealt with one on Stanton Street where there was mixed reviews as to how we proceeded, but I'd definitely like to see some more consultation with residents or through council before we go ahead and just remove sections of sidewalk, because once you take it out, it's very difficult to put it back once residents move or change. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Your Worship.
Yeah, this removal of sidewalks goes back some time. I know that at one point there were consultations. There used to be sidewalks on both sides of Torrance Street, south of Catherine. Came time to repair those. The residents were asked about sidewalks, and those on the west side wanted them removed. So they were removed down towards the school, where I think they're picked up again on the west side of Court Street. I always found that interesting. And now, as Councillor Passero has mentioned, now that we're more interested in active transportation, people using bikes, people walking more, a lot of seniors now have little scooters. They actually need this type of infrastructure. And I noticed someplace that I was reading in town material that we will be looking at making sure that we've got, where required, sidewalks on both sides of the street. I think that's terribly important if we want to have walkable neighborhoods and communities. So even when we're doing the new developments, I know that recent developments have only had sidewalks on one side of the street. I think that's something that we should be bearing in mind if we're truly interested in making this a walkable community.
Thank you, Your Worship. Any other comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll move to the next project. BUSS 18-2018 Transit Bus Stop and Facility Improvements Budget Allocation for 2018 is $50,000. Comments or questions? Councillor McDermott?
Yes, just a quick question to Mr. Walsh. The new bus stops, what is the time frame for these to be put in place?
Through you, Mr. Chair, the contract has been let. The main hub sidewalk and bus stop out front here of the arena is slated to start construction tomorrow morning, actually. The contractor, CTC, will be proceeding as fast as he can after that. We're approaching winter. There are, I believe, 8 shelters planned in the Bus 17 project. They have an 18 to 20 week lead time on them, so they won't be installed until the spring, unfortunately.
You're welcome. Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, we'll move to the next project, which is SCH 018 Schooley Road Storm Sewers. Budget allocation is $61,500. Comments or questions? Okay, seeing none, we'll move to the next project. GLED 04 Glennie Municipal Drain. Prior year allocation of $90,000. Budget allocation for 2018 is $150,000. Comments or questions? Seeing none, we can move to the next project, which is STJD 04 St. John's Municipal Drain. Prior year budget allocation is $75,000. Current 2018 budget allocation is $300,000. Comments or questions? I have one question regarding this for Mr. Walsh. The St. John's Marsh works. We recently, the mayor and I, received an email from a concerned constituent who lives on Prospect, Holloway Bay Road, thank you. Momentary slip. Will this works take any pressure off of that drain coming in from Port Colborne? Is it...
This drain is not connected at all to the concern that you bring
so
up.
So it's not going to add any relief to that constituent. Okay. Just want to ask that question. No other questions or comments. We'll go ahead and move to the next item, which is NSST 17 Nye Road Sewer Shed Trenchless Rehabilitation. Prior year budget allocation, $75,000. 2018 budget allocation, $1.12 million. Comments or questions, Your Worship?
I think this is excellent that we're doing this type of work. Just wondering if we have any idea at this point what the impact of this work might have on the infiltrations into our system. Do we have any target that we're hoping to reach, or do we have to wait until the work is completed?
Mr. Walsh?
Mr. Chair, we're hoping for substantial reductions in in II in this area. With respect to the big picture town-wide, I can't give you that number right now. I can't give you a volumetric number on this particular project either, but we're looking for a 70 to 80% reduction.
And if I might.
Yes, you may.
Wouldn't this be the ideal type of project that the region would be interested in terms of keeping water out of our sanitary sewers, which then has an impact on the capacity of the sewage treatment plant?
Mr. Chair, if you'll indulge me on my soapbox for a moment.
Absolutely.
Please do, because better you than me, I guess.
I agree with you completely, Mr. Mayor, on that, in that it doesn't matter where the infiltration or the inflow is coming from. It is stormwater that does not belong in the sanitary sewer. Nonetheless, the region ranks projects based on their immediate impact to II issues. Therefore, a combined sewer has a higher rating than secondary repairs to homeowner laterals that are already separated. It's unfortunate, but we're playing by the game right now. I will add that the region's new wastewater master plan, as far as I understand it, allocates specific funding to each municipality over the next years from the development charges they collect. And that will, the reduction in II in each municipality will negate the need for improvements as a result of development. So it makes sense from that part. And with them allocating specific funding to each municipality, we no longer have to fight over that money, which is good.
And I believe that there's some effort to try to expand the scope of that program, because you're quite right. And I know that there wasn't a large amount of money allocated to this, if you look at the region-wide picture. But I think it's important that we keep pushing forward with our position on this and why that program should be expanded, because it benefits the municipality in terms of the costs that we have to pay, but it benefits the region in terms of expanding the capacity available.
Thank you, Your Worship. Are there any other comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll move to the next report, WINT-20, Winnemute Street Trenchless Rehabilitation. Prior year allocation was $60,000. 2018 allocation is $440,000. Comments or questions? Seeing none, we will go ahead and move to WMDE-18, Dead End Water Main Replacement Program. Budget allocation for 2018 is $50,000. Comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move to the next project, which is WMET-18, 2018 Water Meter Replacement Program. Current year budget allocation is $450,000. Comments or questions? Seeing none, we will move on to the next project, which is CLSI-18, Centennial Library Structural Repairs, budget allocation of $120,000 for 2018. Comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll move to the next project, which is GCBE-25, which is the Gibson Center expansion. 2018 budget allocation is $30,000. Comments or questions? Seeing none, we will move to the next item, which is GCFR-18, which is the Gibson Center flooring replacement. Budget allocation for 2018 is $45,000. Are there any comments or questions from anyone on this? Seeing none, we'll move to the next project, which is GCGD-18, the Gibson Center gas detection. Budget allocation for 2018 is $43,000. Comments or questions? Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just looking at the photo included. Can we include $80 for a coat rack?
Mr. Walsh?
We'll have to ask the chief. I think that's his bunker gear there.
That'll be moved over to Central Fire Station, Chief.
Moving on to the next project, which is MGSR-18, the Museum GTR Structural Repairs, budget allocation of $85,000 for 2018. Are there any comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll move to the next project, which is SHFR-18, Stevensville Hall Floor Replacement, budget allocation of $65,000. Comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll move to the next project, which is THRA-18, Town Hall Alterations. Budget allocation for 2018 is $40,000. Comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll move to the next project, which is LPHV-18, Leisureplex HVAC Replacement. Budget allocation of $55,000. Comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll move to the next project, which is LZDU-19, Leisureplex Zamboni Door Replacement. Budget allocation of $40,000. Comments or questions? Is this because Sean Hutton drove the Zamboni into the door? Seeing no comments or questions, we'll move on to the next one, which is THHA-16, Town Hall Heat and Air. Budget allocation of $50,000 for 2018. Comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll move to the next project, which is CLIP-19, Centennial Library Interlocking Paver Replacement. 2018 budget allocation of $40,000. Your Worship?
Will this work include any of the repair of the curb or replacement of some of the curb? Because you can see in this photograph, it's part of our package, that the curb itself has been damaged.
Mr. Walsh?
Yes, it will.
Any other comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll move to the next project, which is CRSR-18, Crystal Ridge Arena Structural Repairs, in the amount of $65,000 for 2018. Comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll move on to the next project, which is LFBD-18, Lions Field Building Demolition. Cost of $20,000 for 2018, Your Worship.
Just want to say that I would have thought this would have been designated as a heritage site in Fort Erie, in Ridgeway. Councilor McDermott, you probably remember, as do I, when they used to sell hot dogs and hamburgers, or maybe Councilor Lubert, you as well. So this is terribly nostalgic for at least three of us.
I used to play baseball on the diamond that was in close proximity.
There used to be two diamonds there, and the Birdie Royals played their home games there.
They did.
Voting against demolition.
Any other comments or questions regarding this location? Seeing none, we'll move on to the next project, which is B01118, 2018 Building Inspection Vehicle. Budget allocation of $35,000. Comments or questions? I have a question. Mr. Walsh, Mr. Jansen, I'm not sure which one of you two wants to take on this, but has any thought been given to the consideration for electric or natural gas or propane vehicle based on some of the incentives that the province is throwing out there for those types of vehicles? Mr. Walsh?
Mr. Chair, we've looked at natural gas and propane vehicles in the past, and the additional expense in conversion and maintenance didn't make sense. Similar to this, this is a hybrid vehicle. When they came out, they were very new to the market. Again, the economics over the life of this haven't worked out. It hasn't saved any gas at all, essentially, which was the whole point, and it cost us an extra $13,000 to buy them. With respect to electric vehicles, there are no suitable vehicles on the market right now. I expect that to change in the next 5 years, and certainly as technologies improve and economics improve, we'll be looking for the best bang for the buck.
Thank you very much.
Unless you want to buy Tesla right now.
I don't want to buy Tesla. I would go diesel before that. But any other comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll move to the next project, which is E02118, 2018 engineering vehicle, cost of $35,000. Comments or questions? Mr. Jansen, just for you, these vehicles that are coming up, the past one and the next few, when we're done with these vehicles, they're all sold for as surplus items, correct?
That's correct. And we generally include a comment at the bottom of the need for project to comment on that exact issue. The project cost includes, trade-in or auction proceeds from the disposed vehicle will return to the reserve.
Thank you very much. Any comments or questions? Seeing none, moving on to F19116 2018 fire pickup truck. Any comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll move to the next project, which is R13118 2018 roads pickup truck. Comments or questions? Seeing none, we'll move on to the next project, which is R32818, a 2018 Rhodes 2-ton truck. Project budget allocation of $55,000 for 2018. Comments or questions? Your Worship?
Just an observation. These vehicles, all of which are 10-plus years, this one in particular is 14 years old, they all look as if they've been very well maintained. And I think that's a bit of a credit to our staff for at least having these vehicles go out there. Obviously, they're right on top of any mechanical requirements and any body needs, because these vehicles all look good from the outside. They don't go very fast. And again, in this town, that's possibly a bonus.
I'm glad that the staff obeys the speed limits, as some people in council don't.
They do.
Any other comments or questions on these items? Seeing none, we'll move to the next project, which is R72218, 2018 two-ton hotbox trailer. Budget allocation for 2018 is $46,000. Comments or questions? Mr. Walsh, I have a question. I'm glad to see that we're replacing the asphalt recycler with something that I'm sure that the staff will thank you for. My question, though, in the description, it also says that we're getting a small roller to be used in conjunction with this. My question being, does the roller have the vibrating feature like they would use on street rollers or highway rollers as opposed to a driveway roller?
Yes, it does. It has the vibrating feature, so we'll get better compaction.
Thank you very much. Councillor Zanko?
Thank you. Through you to Mr. Walsh. Does this mean that we won't be using cold patch any longer for this winter season?
Through you, Mr. Chair, no, it does not mean we will not be using cold patch. The hot mix asphalt is typically not available in the winter months unless we drive to Hamilton to get it. At least sometimes it's Toronto, depending on the weather. So there will be months when we still have to use cold patch. But when we start using this machine with the hot mixed asphalts to repair our potholes, we'll get a longer, more lasting and permanent fix.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Seeing none, we'll move to the next project, which is U11119 2018 wastewater pickup truck. Budget allocation for 2018 is $37,000. Comments or questions? Councillor Lubertz?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Not so much a comment on this here, but just a comment on our fleet in general. I know in the past I've called our CAO and asked our CAO to meet with us or meet with myself or some other people at a particular spot in Fort Erie, and the CAO has arrived in his own vehicle. And I'm just wondering, maybe not in this year budget, but in the future, if we could consider having a vehicle available for not just the CAO, but maybe even the directors of our different departments, that they could share if they need to do any site visits in the town. Because I don't know if anything has changed since then, but I don't believe we have a vehicle for our directors. And maybe Mr. Cookett could comment on that.
Mr. Cookett?
Yeah, through you, Chair. I appreciate the comments of Councillor Lubert. So presently, the directors and myself, we use our own vehicles. What we typically do is check and see if there's a town vehicle available. We have a sign-out policy. For instance, we refer to it as the planning van, but if it's available, then we'll use it, take it out on the job sites. But we are typically short for vehicles, so that's why we use our own. But if we were to get one, that could be shared. Hopefully it's not an e-bike or a scooter of some sort, something that's...
Well, what I was thinking more along the lines of we could get something, because I don't know how much traveling they do throughout the town, but maybe some fully electric vehicle for, and then we can decide how well that's utilized or how well that works. Maybe we can implement it into some other, but just something that we might want to think about in the future.
I appreciate it, and next year's budget we'll add something in there for a shared vehicle.
To Councillor Lubert's point, when you attend meetings at the region, do you normally take your own vehicle or do you take a town vehicle?
Through you, Chair, it all depends. If it's in the morning or at the end of the day, I'll take my own vehicle only because it's typically I'm on my way home or I'm on my way into work, so I'll utilize my own vehicle, as do the others. If we're just going there during the day for a meeting and coming back, if a vehicle's available, we'll utilize it.
And just a follow-up question to that just arose in my head while I was thinking of it, but does Mr. Jansen allow you to claim mileage?
I'm sorry, allow us to play what?
Does Mr. Jansen allow you to claim mileage when you're going to those meetings at the region and back?
If we're going directly there and directly back, we do charge mileage. For instance, myself, if it's in the morning or on the end of the day, I do not charge mileage.
Thank you, Mr. Cookett. Are there any other questions or comments? Councillor Passero?
I just wanted to draw our CO's attention to our new enhanced transit system.
So I'll leave today for a meeting on...
That brings us to the end of all the items on an individual review basis. The report was moved earlier by Councillor Zanko. So that report is on the floor open for discussion. Councillor Zanko has a question. She'll start us off and then I...
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through you to Mr. Walsh, in light of the confirmation that Mr. Cookett had provided with regard to Lakeside, is $70,000 enough to advance this project forward?
Mr. Cookett?
Through the Chair to Councillor Zanko, I just have some additional information. So I spoke to previously that we had $70,000 in the budget. What we had in our forecast is in 2019 requesting another $100,000 for design. So I misled you earlier, and that in 2020 we had a construction project of $2.8 million, of which $1 million was for storm works and $895,000 was for water and $865,000 was for road works. The $1 million for towards the storm works is partially funded through DC monies. So I just wanted to put out there so that you have the correct information.
Councillor Zanko?
Okay, and I think what I'd like to do is put a motion forward to advance that money, allowing the design work to move forward.
Do you want to put that on the floor right now, or do you want everybody else to...
I'd like to put it on the floor.
Yeah, you're going to put it on the floor? Okay. So Councillor Zanko is putting forward an amendment to the budget
for
$100,000 to advance the work for Lakeside Avenue.
Design
work for Lakeside Avenue. That is on the floor. Comments or questions, Your Worship?
So that money would come out of reserves, I presume, Mr. Jansen?
Through the Chair, yes, I believe that is the case. I don't have the original information in terms of whether there was any other alternate funding involved or DCs considered, but I believe reserves, Tom is saying, yeah, it is reserves.
That's correct.
And that will put us in a position, if the design work is done in 2018, that puts us in a position to have another shovel-ready project in the event there's capital funding that's available. So I'm fully supportive of this.
Councillor Luberts, do you have a comment or question?
No. I was just going to ask what reserve it would come out of. Definitely going to come out of reserves, so I guess there's no impact on the levies, and it needs to be done, so if we can get it done.
Okay. Are there any other comments or questions? I'll call the question. All those in favor of Councillor Zanko's motion? That passes unanimously.
I have one additional question.
Go ahead, Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate my colleague's support. Through you to Mr. Walsh, just wanted to get some additional confirmation regarding Lakeside. I know that there's a water main replacement. What portion of the road will be subject to resurface as well. Is there a piece or will it be the entire road?
Mr. Walsh? Through you, Mr. Chair. The scope of the road is storm sewer and water main replacement and road reconstruction from Phillips to Dominion.
Thank you.
You're welcome. If I could ask Councillor McDermott to take the chair for a moment, I also have an amendment that I would like to put on the floor regarding this budget. So I'd like to pass the chair to you, Councillor McDermott, as vice chair of the committee. Thank you. I would like to amend project HOUC 18, Hope Crescent Reconstruction. It is page 93 in the budget book. And what I'd like to propose, taking into consideration what the mayor said earlier, that competing projects, the fact that Mr. Walsh has identified this outside the 10-year capital plan, and that the design work, the residents do want to see movement, but the design work, I'd like to phase in the amount over a 3-year period and reduce this $100,000 right now to 30 this year, 30 in subsequent years, 30 a year for 3 years. Mr. Walsh, would you like that?
That's acceptable, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh. Jonathan?
Through the chair to Councillor Nutt. If the intention is to procure $100,000 in total of design, then we would, the phasing in would work against that. We would need the full amount at the point of wanting to tender that design. So in that case, you would want to, in the year of procuring design, you would want to have the full amount available.
Also not.
Yeah, understood. And I think that I just want to move this forward a little bit for the, well, I obviously want to move it forward so it resolves the issues, but understanding that this is a larger undertaking, it's, I think, more acceptable to phase in, and we'll do the design work when the full amount is captured in the reserve. And by that time, the project should be within the 10-year capital so that the design work will be there. If funding is in the available in the future through grants or whatnot and we can advance the project, then we have another shovel-ready project that's within our 10-year capital plan that we could go to. So I'm looking at more of a long-term strategy and what's best for the town overall, considering that we have so many competing projects dealing with infrastructure. So if we could, I'm putting that amendment on the floor that we have a phased-in approach to the design work, and that when the design work reserve is fully funded, then we'll tender the design work at that time. Mr. Walsh has given his affirmative a few minutes ago. So,
any comments or questions with regards to Councillor Nutt's? Seeing none, all in favor? Opposed, if any? Carried. Back to you.
Very well done. Thank you, Councillor McDermott. Are there any other comments or questions? Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We had discussed a few months back at the time when we advanced funding for the boardwalk at Waverly Beach, the current condition of the washrooms there. We have an absolute gem of a park. The only thing, once this project is done, that's going to be lacking is that little washroom pavilion. They're in horrible shape. I don't know what year they were done or what maintenance has been done, but I'm wondering, is that something that is could be encompassed within the facility's budget of things they do annually, or is that something we'd have to look at as far as approving a separate capital project?
Mr. Walsh?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I spoke with Mr. Hutton, our manager of Parks and Facilities, about this at the time of budget preparation. He's of the opinion that everything can be handled through the operating budget.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. It'll be good to see that done all at once.
Are there any other questions or comments or amendments that we wish to move before we vote on the report as amended? Mr. Jansen?
So I just want to summarize then that the revised or amended Appendix 2 total would be $9,054,570, with the addition of the $100,000 for Lake 07 and the removal of $70,000 from Hoke 1-8.
Thank you for clarification. Are there any other comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll call the question on the report as amended. All those in favor? None opposed? That carries unanimously. want me to cover that, or would you like the chair back?
Yeah, I'll take the chair back.
Okay, I'll turn the chair back over to His Worship.
Thank you very much, Councillor. That was very well done. That was a lot of work that we went through this evening and very well managed. So the date of the next meeting is December the 6th, and that will be the water and wastewater operating budget and user fee analysis. We then don't meet on budgets until January the 10th, 2018 for the EDTC and library budget. And then our first general levy operating budget and assessment analysis will be Wednesday, January 24th, 2018. Hopefully we will be done then. If not, we'll have a fifth meeting January 31st. And this is why I've taken the chair, Councillor Nutt, so that you can move to adjourn.
No problem, Your Worship. The council and committee budget meeting for the town of Fort Erie hereby adjourns at 8:47 p.m.
All those in favor? Unopposed, that is carried.